Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 229 of The Psych Files. Michael Britt here, your host, and we're going to talk about the psychology of music today, and I got a bunch of little music samples to throw at you to see if you like them and why you might like them. I find music really fascinating. Of course, we all love music, right? The universal language. But I'm particularly interested in melody, and I'm interested in why some songs seem to have melody, others don't, why we're attracted to some songs. And so I'm sort of a deconstructionist, I've learned, which means I like to take things apart. So it's not enough to just listen to music. I don't know, I listen to it and I go, now why is that? Why does that work or not work? So here's what started me off actually on this, and that would be the movie Star Trek. The motion picture. This was the first of the motion pictures back in, I think this was the late 70s. So maybe you've seen it. It actually was not a very good movie, but it was the first one that introduced the new theme, which was written by Jerry Goldsmith. Maybe you remember, I think this is the Enterprise theme. I'm going to play a little bit of it in just a second. But what I did, of course, being a huge Star Trek fan, I had to watch the bonus features and all the other stuff on the DVD. And what I found fascinating was that there was a little section in the DVD where, I forget who was talking. It wasn't Gene Roddenberry. It might have been the director. What he said was that the composer, who did I say he was? Jerry Goldsmith, had come up with a theme. Actually, I think this is the Enterprise theme. Anyway, so he had come up with some beautiful orchestral music for when we first see the Enterprise. And so he invited Gene Roddenberry in, and he hated it. and he said, according to the DVD, he said, there's no melody here. The DVD gives us a little example of this, a very, very short example, of this music that Gene Roddenberry hated because he felt it had no melody. So let's listen to it. Here it is. Now, it's obviously very grand, and I actually had, sorry to use the term actually again, but I asked the members of the Facebook group, the Psych Files group, what did they think to compare that early version to the revised version, which one sounds better. So the revised one, which maybe you find familiar if you are a big fan of Star Trek, sounds like this. What's the difference? Because it is quite similar. Obviously, it didn't go from a huge orchestra to a small band. It's the same orchestra. But there's just an element of what? Of repetition in that second piece. Just a little bit that makes it just a little bit more memorable. So let's just listen to them again. First, the one that doesn't seem to resonate so well, and then the second one. The one that Gene Roddenberry eventually liked and said, let's go with that. So first, the non-memorable one. Okay, and now the memorable one. Now, of course, if you were to continue to listening, it would repeat that. It's almost like the melody is banged home at you. I wonder if if Jerry Goldsmith said, okay, here's the darn melody. Right? It's like, 1, 2, 3, da-da-dum, and then it repeats, right? Bomb, big cymbal crash. Ba-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, bomb. So it really kind of nails that one. So watching the DVD, and that's kind of started me thinking about this. So there is a book. It is called On Repeat, How Music Plays the Mind. Right. So it's by Elizabeth Helmuth Margulies, and it was released just last year. So it's called On Repeat, and you can find that on Amazon. I'll link to it from the site. In all honesty, it's a tough read in some places, but it is all about this idea of repetition and why it's something that is so essential. Now, maybe you've had this experience, which is where you are listening to a piece of music that you think has no melody at all. I think older people usually think that younger people's music is terrible. Now, that, of course, has to do with familiarity. And she mentions in this book and in a really quite well done TED.com. And I'll link to that, too. So there's a really nice sort of a summary of these ideas in this TED video, which is also available on YouTube. But they talk about the mere exposure effect, which is talked about a lot in social psychology, which is that, of course, anything that we are exposed to enough times eventually becomes more positive. And so I think, but let me give you an example. Let me give you a piece of music that when I first heard it, I thought, I'm not getting it. All right. So here's the song. It's called Ignite, by Noise Storm. And by the way, I'm going to use some music in this episode that I recorded it off of iTunes, the little preview button that you get. So hopefully nobody will come back to me and say, hey, you can't do that. So I don't know, it's just a snippet of music, and it's educational, and what the heck, it's an advertisement for the music. But anyway, so here is Ignite. And get your gut reaction on this song. Okay, now I know what you're thinking. It sounds like a lot of noise, which was my first reaction to it. And by the way, you know, the name of the band here is Noise Storm. It's one of those songs that grows on you, right? Because there is a melody in here. It took a little while for me to figure out where it was, but it's coming up in just a second. Okay, so there it is. It's that. It's that back and forth right there. And so after a while, so what happens is, it's really very interesting. If you think of, and there's a brain model, a sort of a theoretical way of thinking of the brain, which and how the brain works, which is called the information processing model, which is, the idea that our brains are like computers. So what you can imagine happens to your brain as you're listening to music, particularly new music, is that it's taking it all in. Let's say the first time you hear it, it's all coming in as a stream of sound, and so your brain is processing it. You could see the analogy to the computer. Some might say, others, computer programmers might say it's parsing it, right? You're taking it apart and looking for the thing that human beings are so good at, which is finding patterns, which is really what Gestalt psychology is about. It's, although that addresses the visual system, right? We look for patterns in what we see. Here we're looking for patterns in what we hear. And so if you hear this enough times, because my kids liked it. I ended up hearing it a lot of times. The brain starts to like pull apart. Okay, so this part right here isn't really that important. This middle part. That part's not so memorable. that sounds like a lot of noise. Although, you know, it's interesting. If you've got a nice bass speaker, it gives you some good bass sound. But there's no repetition there. And so after a while, your brain, as it's processing this, says to itself, okay, that part there, that's not really important. Where's the important part? What happens is now you've got it. So this mere exposure effect. So you're listening to this song, like it or not, or maybe if you listen to the radio, it just keeps coming on. And at first, it's this stream of noise. And then after a while, your brain, it's processing it. Even if, let's say, you're doing something else, you're working on the computer. I don't know if you work with music on in the background. I actually don't because I find it a little bit distracting. But anyway, if you do, so after a while, your brain has parsed through the sound and pulled out the piece of repetition. And so out of this continued exposure, we get a greater liking. And so what happens is, talked about this a little bit in episode 101, which I talked about psychology of music. Once that element is identified, then you can come to expect it, right? Which is the whole reason why we search for patterns anyway, be they visual or auditory. We search for patterns in our environment so that we know what to expect, so that everything that happens to us isn't brand new. We can take what has happened to us and compartmentalize it so that we can set things aside. Now, that, of course, means that sometimes we're not seeing things or hearing things that are there, but we don't see them because we've sort of grouped some things together and we've put them aside and we don't process them deeply anymore. Once we've got that piece that we know is there, then when we hear it, then we get that reward sense, right? So, which some have alluded to as a sort of a dopamine rush kind of thing. It's a small rush, but, you know, you get a reward sense when something happens that you predicted will happen. Now, let me jump to another song, which fascinates me because of its appeal. You know, it's amazing. So anyway, this is a song, and hopefully you've heard this. It's called Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, originally. And so I didn't, you know, I was never a Leonard Cohen fan, so I didn't hear it until I watched the movie Shrek, which I know is probably like 10 years old now. So maybe you've seen this. It's a sad song. And I talked about minor chords in that previous episode, 101. It's extremely popular and has been done again and again and again. And so I went to do a little bit of research to see why is it that this song is so popular. So first, here's a version of it. This is not Leonard Cohen singing it. This is Rufus Wainwright, and he's the one who sang it in the Shrek movie. Let's just listen to a little bit of him singing the song.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe I have been here before. I know this room, I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you.
Okay, so hopefully you found that familiar because it's been played so many times you went, oh yeah, I've heard that one. I mean, I hope you liked it. I do. What makes that song so popular? I went and got the sheet music for it to look for it. Well, first, actually, I went to, I think it was probably Wikipedia. I looked at the song. And so apparently Leonard Cohen himself was asked, why do you think that's one of your most popular songs? And apparently his response was, quote, it has a killer chorus. All right, so it's that hallelujah part. You just can hear it again and again. Now, there's a word that we probably all know. So again, a couple of things here, at least with the words anyway. So this is a word that most people know, and it's repeated again and again in the song. The other part that I think is that researchers are coming up with that's important to making songs likable is our ability to participate in the song. So when we've got repetition, we've got a pattern, we get rewarded when we hear the pattern, but what you find, of course, is that, you know, your feet tap or however else when you're listening to music, that you become a part of the music. The middle of most songs, even older songs, beginning of the song, you get the melody, then you get the middle of the song, you know, that middle 8, or 16 bars, where this song goes off in another direction, not terribly memorable, and then it returns to the original melody. That's the structure of most songs, A, B, A, as I recall. So here we've got repetition in the lyrics, but listen to, so what I'm going to do now in true deconstruction format, I'm going to take apart the song. Let's listen to just the bass part and just the treble part of the song. Now, I had a good friend, Steve Kessler, and Steve is a local music teacher. He plays just about every single instrument, so he's a real Renaissance man. So I sent him the sheet music and asked him to record the parts separately and then together. First, let's take a listen to the right-hand part, the treble clef of this song, Hallelujah, played by Steve Kessler. Now, he's playing it on an electric piano. Take a listen. Now, the next time you hear this song, listen for that. Now, so what's going on, you noticed it, I'm sure. It's like, dum, 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 dum. There's this incredible repetition in the treble clef here. Okay, now let's listen to the bass clef. Isn't it amazing? It's just goes dum da dum da dum da dum. There's incredible repetition in the bass clef, right? It's amazing when you take something apart. You say, is that really what it sounds like that way? Now, just to put the two of them together. You can just so easily picture yourself just tapping along to this music. Every part of this song has this repetition. And yet, so that's what makes, I think that's what makes it, you know, the repetition, the ability to participate in the song. You know exactly what's coming next. Now, as far as the words, the other words, aside from Hallelujah, I also took a look to see if I could understand what the heck the rest of the song is about, and I have no idea. There's like these other the parts of the lyrics that I, you know, it's just references. They seem out of nowhere. So I couldn't, if you have any thoughts on that, love to hear it. Come to the website, www.thesitefiles.com, and leave a comment on that. For me, it's the repetition, the predictability, and the ability to participate. Okay, now here's a more recent song that has, I think, very similar elements to this, and that's really what I challenge you to do is you listen to your music, driving, maybe you're driving right now. When you're done and listen to the episode, listen for the repetition in the music. So here is a song by Adele called Someone Like You. And I think you'll find a lot of similarities here to Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. And again, listen to the background, to the accompaniment here.
You know how the time flies only. Yesterday was the time of our lives. We were born and raised in a summer haze, bound by the surprise of our glory day.
Hopefully there you were able to listen, not so much to her voice, but to the background. Okay, just a couple more, and then we'll wrap this up. Here's an example of repetition that is, if you just listen to it extracted from the movie, it would be probably pretty annoying. Now, by the way, the other piece, of course, of repetition is the old earworm, right? If the piece of music is too simple, then the pattern is very easily recognized, and if you hear it too much, it kind of turns against you, and it becomes really annoying. So there has to be a repetition, but it has to have a certain amount of complexity to it as well. Let's listen to an example, though, of a piece of music. Before I tell you what it is, see if you remember. It's from a famous movie, but an older movie, and lots of repetition here. I know what you're thinking. You're going, holy mackerel, is that even music? I mean, that's just the same thing over and over again. Now, that is from an excerpt from a movie called Koya Niskatsi. I think the subtitle was Life Out of Balance. The purpose there with this music, and this was by Philip Glass, was really purposely to be, I don't know if it's, I don't think he wanted it to be annoying, but it was to represent the monotony of life and what modern life has become. If you have not seen this movie, I'll link to it. It's hard to spell and all that. It's called Koya Niskatsi. In fact, there were two other ones, sequels. I didn't see those, though. This first one is really, I don't know, maybe you have to be into it, but the imagery combined with Philip Glass's music is fascinating. There is kind of a melody here. Let's just see. Well, we'll listen to a little bit more of it because it does go on, and not too much because I don't want to annoy you, but let's just see what else we can hear. Yep, I don't know, right? That's a tough one. But it works perfectly with the movie. One other piece from that movie. I know what you're thinking. You're saying this can't even be music. But there's just a little bit, I think, of melody here. Let's just continue to listen for just a little bit more. Well, I'll tell you what, I will let you be the judge of that piece of music. All right, one final piece that has repetition, and not the kind of repetition like we just heard that evokes an annoying mood. This is John Williams. This would be the composer of the Star Wars movies, but this is from Jurassic Park. Now, I remember thinking as I walked out of that movie so many years ago that I didn't think it was, you know, well, obviously it's hard. How do you compare yourself with Star Wars music? I didn't think it was quite as good as that. I didn't know if it would stick in my mind, you know, but now I've come to really appreciate it. So you hear repetition, and it's really actually just sort of like three notes that are played, and it's, they're played in different keys and in different ways. Well, listen to those three as you hear this piece.
Thank you.
Okay, now there it is right there. Just those three. Da 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 da. Okay, so it's that changes a little bit as we go along, but it's really that's the core of this song, and it repeats enough times and in enough different ways that it's not annoying like the previous piece could be. Now here we're adding an entire full orchestra, so different instruments get to play it, but it's really just those three notes. So listen again. Obviously, the other embellishments add a lot to it, but it's really just that repetition of the three elements there, partly what makes it so compelling. One other interesting observation that really kind of goes along with what we've said is a quote here from this video of On Repeat, which is that one bit of music serves as a cue to the next bit, and that's so true. That's what helps it to become predictable to us, and it's so rewarding when what we expect to happen actually happens. And maybe you have conducted music. I remember seeing this in a movie once where a guy is sitting in his living room and all this music, and he's got his stereo on and he's actually conducting it with his hands, and he's got the conductor's wand and all that. So it takes a little bit a little bit too far maybe, but how many of us do that with our hands, where we sort of conduct the music? And the fact that we can do that it's predictable enough that allows us to do that, and when we move our hand, the music seems to respond to it, gives us this great sense of power, predictability, and a good old dopamine shot, no doubt, as well. All right, well, listen, I hope you found this episode interesting, and, as I say, as you're driving along, listen for the bass, listen for the accompaniment, and for those elements of repetition that make music so rewarding to us. All right, so again, check out the Psych Files. Just Google it or something, or go into iTunes. You'll see there's apps. There's games. I got a few of those and more coming out. So check it out. All right, and that helps to support the podcast. All right, take care. Bye now.